that by this healthcare that wants everybody to have compulsory healthcare. That's not the order of nature. I'm not an issue. You see them arguing. Why? People are telling lies. It's not because they don't understand the sense, but they are lying. They want to tell themselves lies. They come and rewrite scientific reports for you to tell you that homosexuality is normal. You were born like that. I always say, I'm a doctor. I know many diseases that people were born with. We just try to cure them. They do bone marrow replacement, gene therapy, all kinds of things to cure diseases that people were born with. Why didn't we say, you were born blind, fly the plane? Why should we discriminate against you? After all, it was not your fault. What am I going to explain? Listen, what you are hearing, all right, is affecting how your body is reacting. It's affecting your ability to be productive. It's affecting what your life is going to be like. And I've said all the things I said to you, all right? In fact, I was saying something about the London School of Economics thing. Let me not even forget what I was saying, all right? In fact, why I went into that. When the Queen went into that place, he said, what, with all your intelligence, with everything, how come you did not see the global economic crisis coming? This was a few days ago, maybe last month. How come you did not see the global economic crisis coming? Finally, they answered, the things were too complicated, they're impossible to understand. Why am I saying all of these things? Because you cannot rely on what men are saying. You can't. Science is wrong. I read it a lot. I know it a lot because of my profession. And I laugh when they tell you things. Like I always say, the idea of evolution only is acceptable to people who are not trying to produce anything. If you tell me to fly a plane that was produced based on the principle of evolution, I won't fly it. They would not license any drug that the principle of evolution was used to develop. They use the principle of order, planning, design for planes, for cars, for drugs, for buildings. So enter the building, say, why did they come? We don't know. It just formed by itself. After one earthquake and second earthquake, this building just appeared and we're now renting it out. You go rent them. But when it comes to evolution, they want me to accept it. What am I trying to explain? Everything we hear outside, it causes disorder in our system. As we believe them, our genes rearrange. If you continue to believe the nonsense people are preaching outside, third generation, none of your children will be normal. Rare diseases will be showing up in them. Things that people did not know existed. You won't know why. It's because you believe they lie. Last generation. They say your life is an accident. It's by chance. One amoeba jammed the euglena. Euglena formed paramecium. Paramecium connect together and form them, what they call it? This notochord, this primitive animal that has a notochord. There's one primitive animal that has a... Anyway, whatever. One of the most primitive animals in the phylum, Chordata. I learned biology, I told you. You believe all of that. What will happen? Your genes will start colliding and colliding, and you find out that collision does not ever produce anything good. Two generations later, you'll be having children that don't have immune system. You won't know why. You will not know why. You will think it is because, it's not the devil, it's what you believe. Doubt is every explanation you have to make an exception to the word of God. What about situations like this? Once you start accepting those situations, it's creating something in you. Listen, Eve. Eve could not eat the fruit until doubt was placed inside her. Satan did not come and say, come, eat. Let me tempt you small. Come. Sniff her. Is it not nice? Yeah, eat. Listen, if Satan had gone through that method, he would have been there for a million years. In fact, he would have been there till Adam would come and cut his head. If we still not have eaten anything, what was the problem? Or how did he manage it? He understood that without doubt, there's no disobedience. And without faith, there's no obedience. The woman was in faith, so obedience was part of her life. What was her face? She said, the thing is bad. Bad is final. So he came and said, has God really said, you shall not eat? Yes, sir. If we eat it, we will die. So he said, fine, let me explain to you. You will not surely die. Once he began to explain to her that there's a possibility of not dying, that God is not really being truthful to you. He does not want it. By the time he finished and she paid attention, all that one did was to create what they call in law reasonable doubt. Once reasonable doubt was applied to her heart, disobedience became a natural consequence. Do you get what I'm going to explain? Without that one, there was no possibility of that woman touching that fruit. In fact, the Bible makes it clear that until that time, she did not even think it was beautiful. You know, if I say this, make you laugh. That day, now, after discussing with my wife, that look, I don't want my stomach to increase beyond this level, and you know, I was just watching. You know, I was asking her for her cooperation. Listen, if you are married, if your wife does not cooperate, you can't watch your weight. Amen. It's true. So I just told myself, I said, what nonsense is this? What is wrong with having some nice round stomach? No, you are going to laugh. Huh? I said, what is even wrong with it? What is wrong with having some fat on your body? I'm going somewhere, please. So I'm not saying you should be fat. I'm just trying to go somewhere. I said, Pastor Banky, make sure it's not just about hypo. You understand my point? You watch too much TV. So I came to the conclusion, I said, just be fit. So I don't care my size really, as long as I can run up the stairs without panting. You'll catch that revelation later. Oh, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. You know what I'm going to explain? When people begin to feed you things, you understand, it's what you hear that only forms your value system. That's what forms a value system. So I was just being careful. I hope I'm not getting into the hype, because you see, people say obesity is bad. I'm far from being obese, man. Very far. Don't worry, I know this job. When you go to America, you will understand what they are talking about. Most Nigerians don't know what these guys are talking about. They don't know what, I mean, when an American starts for a year, he comes to double your size. That is coming down. So I was just being careful that don't let hype form your life. That's why I dropped that one in. Why did I say all the things I'm saying? If your life is going to be transformed, you see, he said in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness. Now, listen to this. You know what that means? Let's start from the extreme. Light shines in darkness. Success comes even in the midst of failure. That's light shining in darkness. If that's going to happen in your life, you know, what it means is that light must come. Because he said in him was life, and the life was the light of men. You understand my point? How would that light come? It's because you have imbibed the life of Jesus. And the life of Jesus is not just I gave my life to Christ. I said last time, that's the beginning. This is the life of Jesus coming into you. He said, take my yoke upon you. How do you do that? By learning of me. This is the life of Jesus coming into you. He said, the words that I speak, he said, the flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. The words that I speak, they are what? They are spirit and they are life. What was he saying? They carry a spiritual substance that imparts life wherever they get to. What does that mean? You know, I'm drawing from the end. If you want your light to shine in darkness, it will simply be because the life of Christ is shining into you. How does it shine? By the entrance of his word. It is not by trying to obey. You know, please go and read my tract again, because this money matter, very few people who preach on it understand it. Read my tract, Cheerful Giver. You understand the meaning of the principle of cheerful giver. I want to bring out something here. People want to obey, give, but they are afraid of tomorrow. A man, a woman who is afraid of tomorrow can never be cheerful in giving. It's not possible. It's not possible. It is not possible. No matter how much I preach and motivate you, if the fear of tomorrow is inside you, you can never be a cheerful giver. You can be a persuaded investor, but you can't be a cheerful giver. You can be a desperate man in need. You cannot be a cheerful giver. Because when a man is desperate, he will do anything. You can be a hopeful receiver. That is, I want something. But you can't be a cheerful giver. What is a cheerful giver? Go and read my track, please. Cheerful giver. A cheerful giver is somebody who understands that my life is in God's hands. What I can see now does not control what my tomorrow will be. One day I was trying to explain something to my wife. We're discussing, people talk about plan your future. I said, listen, baby, come, let's talk about something. I said, you know us, that is, my wife and I. You know us. She said, yes. I said, now let me paint a picture for you. Let's assume there is a man who has maybe 10 billion naira stored up in investments here and there. He has 10 houses in Enugu, 5 in Lagos. You know, I painted something like that. 2 in Abuja, 3 in Port Harcourt. You know, I painted stuff like that. And he has this amount of income. As of today, I said, think about it in 10 years' time. And of course, all these I painted are the very things I do not have. Do you understand my point? I said, now think about it in 10 years' time. Who do you know? Who are you sure we have a house to live in? Him or me? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. I said, look at me, your husband. If they say, okay, make a choice now as a woman for housing. Who will you stay with that's housing in 10 years' time? There's a risk there may be no houses. Who will you stay with? Is it me or that other fellow? Talking about, not love now, say I love you. No, I'm not talking about love. I'm talking about the need to have accommodation in 10 years' time. Who can guarantee it more, him or me? She got my point. In case you do not know, for those who are listening to this who don't have any faith at all, let me tell you, it is me. Because some people have to see one, they are confused. You know why? I'm not alone. Let me put it like that. I'm a man on assignment. The resources of heaven, all right, they are gathered around me. My life is not an accident. Jesus said something. He said, if I wanted 12 legions of angels, do you think I can't ask for it? The only reason I don't spend weekends in Buja Arab is because I don't think it's necessary. I don't know what I gotta say. To stay in Buja Arab is $25,000 a night. I don't stay there. Why? It's not necessary. Just as a testimony, when I first came to Enugu, people used to wonder at my wife and I that why do you always live in big houses? When I moved to that house I stayed in independently at the first time, all right? 5-bedroom duplex with 2-room BQ. There were only 3 people in my household. My wife, me, and my son, Akinlu. So, a 4th person comes and goes. Maybe Deji comes, and that's my younger brother, goes. Maybe my wife's sister comes and goes. When we moved in there, the total population of adults living there were 4. 3 constant. Then, an addition, maybe a help comes to stay with you briefly. Are you getting what I'm saying? People used to wonder, like, what are you doing with that kind of house? I said, that's the kind of house I can live in. I like space. What I'm trying to say is that I have never looked at a house based on what I really can afford. It doesn't cross my mind. It's always been on the kind of house I like. That is, each house I go in, you check all my mates, none of them live in anything close to it. I'm bringing an issue here. So who is it? You see, there's a man who has to pay for his house, has to strategize. I believe for mine. Where I will stay in 10 years' time is being designed by God now. Even Bishop, the architect, does not know about it. He and I can talk and talk about ideas, room like this, but God in heaven, listen, the tabernacle of Moses was designed by God. They called Moses to come up, to look at it, and he was told, be careful that you build this thing on the earth exactly according to the pattern I'm showing you. I'm a servant of God. I'm the priest of the Most High God. The temple of God I will live in is designed in heaven. Bishop, you have to pray to do anything for me. You must connect with the Spirit. Don't just come with the ideas. That when you are through, they will say that we have never seen this before. He says, it's Pastor Bangi's house. They will say, we understand the point. Why did I say all of that? So you see, When I was discussing with my wife, that what I was saying to her in effect is that what we have now or don't have does not in any way indicate what 10 years' time we hold. You know, Jesus said like this, a man's life cannot be predicted by the abundance of things which he possesses. Are you following what I'm trying to explain? Listen, that's how the word of God works. That is how it works. You know, I say all of this by trying to bring out an issue. What do? You just hear it. Okay, let me just complete the balance. Why I brought that housing issue. So, I can be a cheerful giver. That's one thing. I don't know whether you hear that. I can be a cheerful giver. That's one thing. Why? I am not thinking that see, this money is for my future. It's not. That future is secure. I have a more secure future than the man who currently has $1 billion. When you say these things, people think that you are just preaching. I'm not just preaching. You know what I'm doing? I'm telling the truth. I am telling what? The truth is not just preaching. It is the uttering of the truth. That's what I'm doing. That's what it is. And you know when you say it, people will wonder. The truth is that if you are still wondering, you don't know life. Yes. The Bible says that wealth is very funny. It can grow wings and fly away. Let me give you another prophetic word. You know, I give you say this jokingly, you know, just off the cuff, people think you are joking. One day, I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about you. You includes my wife. She's sitting there inside there. Everybody wants to believe this, believe it. Because it will happen. Have you ever looked around and seen politicians stealing money and building houses? Let your anger be half. Your current level of anger, please cut it in half. There's a joy on the other side. So you are angry. Then I want to give you a cause for joy. You know why they have to steal? One of the reasons, there are many reasons. I'll give you a few scriptures. God said that, don't worry, is it Edom or Moab, one of them? He said she will return to her evil ways or something. And her evil business, he said, don't worry. And she will make a lot of money. Then I will take the money and commit it into the hands of those who are pleasing in my sight. This is the prophetic word. So get ready for it. A business, a building, hotels, massive structures built for billions of naira with stolen money. You, one day, will buy for less than one-tenth the cost for which it was constructed. Let me say it again. Businesses worth billions of naira that a man stole to put up, once he's through, for less than one-tenth of the real value, it will be transferred into your hands. When the Bible says you will live in houses you did not build, there are different levels of manifestations. There is one level of manifestation which I'm enjoying right now. My landlord built the house I'm staying in. Did I build it? He said, but you are paying rent. It's good to be generous to a man who has been kind to you. My rent is gratitude. It's a yearly offering. He said, sir, God bless you. You are the instrument of God. He said, you have to return to where you were blessed to say thank you. That's one level. But there's another level. That you won't have to pay rent to somebody. Yet, you won't be the one that built the house. They will build it for $100 million, state of the art. There are different ways by which God does it. But you will pay $10 million and still collect change. One man of God says something like this. He say, collect your neighbor's own if your amen is louder. So let me say it again. They will build a house over $100 million naira, state of the art. You will pay $10 million and collect change and the house is yours. Please, can I beg you for one thing? In case we don't even see face to face at that time, send me an email when it happens. Call me, say, oh, God, it has happened. So in fact, I didn't need the house, but just to make sure that I participate in the fulfillment of this word, I bought it. And if there are two, you can just say, okay, do you want one? Now, I'm not looking at an issue here. Oh, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. What's the issue I'm bringing out? The word of God works. You are transformed as you hear. Those days I used to think that the preacher must tell us what to do. That is true. There is something to do, and I preach it. But there are times there's nothing really to do. But every time there is something to believe. That's why God has given us technology. Use it. Don't be happy anymore with any phone that doesn't have an SD card. You know, you believed God to get a cheap phone. Amen? That was then. Use that faith now. Go to another level. Make sure your phone has what? An SD card. At least 1 gig. This day, Samsung sells routinely with 2 gig free. LG. Make sure it has 2 gig. You know what I'm talking about? Load messages on it. Load it. If you enter my car, most of the time, something is plain. You think I'm listening. Half of the times I'm listening. Half of the time it's just plain. In fact, I was telling my wife the other day, there was one message by Pastor Kwaju that I've had for a long time. I've listened to it a number of times. That this is the first time I'm getting the point. That was a few days ago. I said, this is the first time I'm getting the point. He was talking about light and darkness, day and night, how day unto day utters speech and all of that, and night shows forth knowledge. And he was talking about how the day is created by the knowledge acquired in the dark. You know, I've listened to that message more than 10 times, but just the talk. Then one day I was driving. Suddenly, I understood what he was saying. I said, my wife, that this is the first time, and I was not listening. It was just plain. So that's what I'm saying. Your phone, do you understand? Put something on it. When you go somewhere, you're idling, just put it in your ears. You're not listening. In fact, you are probably falling asleep. Let it talk. You know why? It's changing your genes. It is. It's changing your genes. It's changing the way you behave. It's changing your character. You know, the other day I was talking with my wife. You know, I get involved in this marriage issue now these days, all right? It's a very nice thing. I said, no woman should come and tell me a guy is nice. I lost hope in nice guys long ago. Niceness is nonsense. Amen? Bring me a ruffian that loves the word of God. I will wed you. No matter how fine, when I say fine, I don't mean just fine in face now. Fine pocket-wise, fine in character-wise, you know what I mean? Open the door for you before taking the journey around to his own side of the car to go and get in. And you think he buys you rose and you are deceived. Niceness will not change your destiny. It won't alter the evil that's inside your life. It will not. A nice guy cannot bring you out of darkness into light. You are getting what I'm not explaining. A nice person, good job. A man that slaps you and loves the word of God is better. I pray you get my point. You know why? The word will soon cripple that hand that he's using to slap. The word will repair the slapping, amen? Then a testimony will come out of your life. A guy who doesn't love God is not slapping you yet. Don't worry. He will start drinking soon. It's a knife he's going to use on your neck one day. Why? Because an evil spirit is a terrible thing. When he enters into a man, he does things he did not know he was able to do. I want to marry a man because he's nice. Don't call me. Say, he's so nice and quiet. I've never seen a more gentle man. Wait. The Bible says, a strong man, when he keeps his goods are undisturbed. Some of the more possessed men don't talk. They are under influence. The man is demon possessed. He does not talk. The other day I was watching one man on TV, one bishop from East Africa. He described one man and his wife. The man was having some issues, and the wife began to complain. The guy not talk. Then when the wife came for dinner, I saw that the man had put a hunting knife on the table and he was eating. That the man did not say a word. The woman, knock, knock, knock. The guy just come, put a hunting knife on the table and was eating his food. The woman got the point. I know what I'm telling you. I don't want to. I give me a very nice girl. She's very religious. In all her life, he this. I tell me one long story. I always tell young men who tell me they are chasing women, I say, drag her for Bible study. I won't talk to you until I see her 10 times. That's my new rule. My eye don't see. Listen. If you see a young man, a young woman with good character, that's not feeding on the word of God, they can't get better, they can only get worse. See, that good character is the best they can ever be. But somebody feeding with God's word, and it's not just about you and your marriage, your children. Something must improve your genes, so you want to pass this gene to the next generation. The other day, somebody forwarded a mail of a speech given by the former apartheid boss, Pieter Botha. Is it Pieter Botha? Yes. F.W. Clark, the Clark was one that canceled the whole thing, Abby. Yes, Pieter Botha, the guy before him. When I read it, he said that if God wanted to make all men equal, he would have made everybody the same color. And that it's obvious that a black man is good only for drinking and for marrying many women. That if you give him a gun, he fights himself. That he's obvious he's incapable of ruling himself. And, you know, I think he really said that. I don't know, I can't swear by it, but I think he really did. And even during the truth and reconciliation thing, the man was defiant. And that he, look, he refused all this one of black and white integration. The man didn't believe in it, and he never pretended about it. And when I read that thing, I said, listen, I followed to a few people, and I put a comment. I said, coming for a white man, this is an insult. I said, but boss, bros, pause first. Forget the fact that it's, you know, we have to politically respond. Is it a lie? I said, that's the first question you ask yourself. Is it a lie? I mean, look at the current president of the country. You know what I'm saying? Not our own, their country. I was a married wife, married wife, married wife. This guy said, this is what these guys do. Now I'm bringing another issue here. And I told my guys, I said, listen, it's not just about whether we are angry or we are not angry. I said, this is how Christians are supposed to respond. Listen to this. I said, it's the duty. Now, listen, let's tell ourselves the truth. Black men naturally decrease. Natural black men really can't rule himself. Let's tell ourselves the truth. I noticed the word, note I use the word what? Natural. What did I say? Natural. Please repeat it again. Natural. Natural black man can't rule himself. Say, hey, Pastor Mike, what do you mean? Look now, tell me one country that he built that has any form of order or peace in it. That ranks as a developed nation on this earth. One. South Africa was not built by blacks. It was built by the whites. But like I say all the time, this is what Christianity is. And this is what your duty and mine, all right, is. To show the world that that time has passed. That since the gospel came to the black man, he's as good as anybody. And that the white man is on his way down if he continues to reject the gospel. I was writing a few days ago. I wrote something. I said, this is true. I said, no nation that recognizes sexual perversion and does not take care of the poor will last more than 2 generations. None on this earth. None. I don't care on what you were built. If God has to fragment it to pieces and retain one city just to preserve the thing you were built upon, he will. And destroy every other thing. Why did I say all of that? This is a duty we have to allow the word transform us from whatever nonsense we were before into what God wants us to be.